This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Thousands of National Guard troops from several states had deployed to the U.S. Capitol to protect Wednesday's inauguration. After zero incidents of unrest, lawmakers kicked the guardsmen out. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say this move was outrageous. The National Guard confirms the troops are out of the garage and will take their breaks near Emancipation Hall going forward. President Biden eliminated 52,000 American Union jobs on day one in office. Republicans from Alaska to Washington have already called the Biden administration's agenda into question. The lost jobs were from executive orders eliminating the Keystone XL pipeline and rejoining the very expensive Paris Climate Accord. SpaceX and Tesla leader Elon Musk says he plans to donate $100 million towards a prize for the best carbon capture technology. Musk made the announcement Thursday on Twitter and said the details will come next week. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Let's get a vaccine update with USA Radio News, Dan Araki.
The nation's top disease expert says the U.S. is just weeks away from possibly approving another coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Anthony Fauci says vaccines developed by Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca could soon have enough data gathered to be considered for an emergency use authorization from the FDA. He tells NBC's Meet the Press that data could come within a week or so.
They have a lot of events meaning infections within the context of the trial. So their data, I think, very soon, I would imagine within a period of a week or so, or at the most a couple of weeks, they're going to be getting their data together and showing it to the FDA. And obviously they're going to have to get their data and safety monitoring board to look at it to see if it is appropriate to start, you know, essentially putting the package together to get an emergency use authorization. But we're weeks away, not months away for sure.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
When you call someone classic, it's a nice way to say that they're old. Classic quarterbacks Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will face off Sunday to see who's going to the 2020 Super Bowl. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he's always been a fan of football and Tom Brady.
I've always been a football fan, and I grew up wearing out a VHS tape of Super Bowl highlights. And, you know, as a kid, you dream about playing in Super Bowls and playing in big games and what that would feel like. And getting the opportunity to play Division I football was a huge dream of mine. And I remember the first moment I stepped on that field as a starter. And it was a special, special feeling. And the same feeling you get when you step on the field as a starter in the NFL. And then when you take your first snap as a playoff quarterback and get to the Super Bowl for the first time. A lot of special moments. This was just another one of those special moments in my career. And it's great, obviously, fodder for media outlets. There's just so many great storylines, and there always are. I mean, that's the NFL. There's so many great great people and great stories to talk about. Obviously, Tommy's had an amazing career. You know his legacy is one of so many wins and so many accomplishments. And I've been a fan of his for a long time and enjoyed the few times we've gotten to play. I remember when I heard the news about him coming to the NFC, I thought this was a real possibility. And I'm excited about the opportunity to play against him one more time.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Jeroy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, is with us. Jeroy, welcome to a new American world here as we have a new president.
Bill, good to talk to you. It's no longer the era of Donald Trump. It's the era of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., as of just a few minutes ago. So here we are.
Well, here we are. So things are already in the offing in terms of change. I'm not sure hope and change is in order here, but we'll see how it plays out.
I guess we will. I thought his inaugural address said a lot of the right things. He talked about unity. He addressed those of us who didn't vote for him and said fairly warm words and talked about working together. And if he means those things and sticks with it, things might turn out okay. But my guess is that his policy agenda is something that's going to be divisive. I mean, he's supposed to sign an executive order ending the Keystone Pipeline that will upset a lot of people. I heard talk about an immigration bill that will allow a path to citizenship for somewhere between 11 and maybe as many as 20 illegal aliens.
Yeah, why are they talking? Well, let me interrupt you for just a minute if I can. They keep saying 11 million. 11 million, they've been saying that for over 10 years. That 11 million is probably more like 30. There's no 11 million number. I mean, that's absurd.
And I know the number of DACA recipients, I think, is somewhere in the area of about 600,000. We have a pretty good handle of who they are, and I believe they're supposed to announce themselves and register and all this. So we have some idea of who these people are, and some people, even some people on the right, have some sympathy for people who were brought here as kids who were not, had nothing, it was not their decision to come to this country illegally. So some people believe there ought to be some accommodation for them. But the view that people who broke into this country illegally, first thing they did in America was break our laws to get here, and they ought to be rewarded by being made American citizens, very frankly, jumping ahead of people in line who came here legally, got visas, are waiting to get green cards, et cetera, and all of a sudden these 11 million or 20 million, whatever the number is, suddenly show up. And, you know, they get in the express lane. A lot of people find that really horrifying and totally unfair, totally inappropriate. And I frankly see that entire policy as basically, it could be called future Democrats of America. I mean, you bring in 11 to 20 million people, and the chances are, I'd say probably a good 55, 60% of them, at least, if not more, will express their gratitude by voting Democrat. And good luck having anywhere between 5.5 and 10 million new Democrats, at least, if not more than that, every election.
And of course, they don't realize that the money that they have been receiving all these years came from Republicans as well as Democrats and Independents.
Yes, absolutely correct. No doubt.
Yeah. So this is, but how it will be couched is that you know, Joe Biden is the savior of these illegal immigrants who have come to the country, as you say, have broken the law, have, you know, gotten into our treasury and have
access themselves to resources, and that these numbers that we're talking about are just incredible. They keep saying 11 million. Like I said, it's not 11 million. It's much, much higher than that. And, of course, this was never to happen because they had promised Ronald Reagan that, no, one time, that's it. It'll never happen again.
Yeah, that's one time only, exactly.
Right.
And, you know, again, whether it's 11 or 20 or maybe it's halfway between, who knows, whatever the number is, it's not a static number.
Yeah.
I believe one of the executive orders that now President Biden plans to sign, I believe this afternoon, is an immediate halt to Southern Wall construction. And also you've seen these caravans that have been marching up from Central America, and the administration, now the sitting administration, said, well, basically, don't come in yet. Don't come in immediately. It's too quick. So I guess maybe we'll wait till the weather's better and then let more of these folks in. They, quote-unquote, want better lives, and somehow better life means that we are obligated to let them in and give them all sorts of free stuff. So whatever the number is now, I assume is just going to keep growing as the future Democrats of America come up across the southern border and get ready to get in place in line for citizenship and voting cards.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we're still dealing with that COVID thing, right?
Yes, we are dealing with that COVID thing. In fact, somebody, I believe one of the former ICE administrators was on TV the other day and said, what happens if you have a family of, let's say, six people come across the border and two of them have COVID? Do you let them all in? Do you deport them all? Do you deport the two who are sick and let the four who are healthy come in, and maybe they turn out to be COVID positive 3 days later? So you can imagine what a complete headache that's going to create if we let these people come into across the border at all. Again, without papers, without permission, without visas, without showing their passports. If you do those things, you want to come to America, I'm all for it if you come in legally and get our permission. But especially in the middle of a global pandemic where we are trying desperately to get the vaccines out with tremendous difficulty, my governor here in New York is going so slowly, he's actually thrown away vaccines that have expired, believe it or not. So I think until we get at least that under control, it's perfectly appropriate to say, look, our border is not open until we get that emergency somewhat under control.
That just might make too much common sense for them, which is a problem. And, you know, and going back to the immigration deal, what about the people that came here legally that paid their own way? Are they going to ask for some sort of retribution now?
Well, they certainly have every right to. I know a gentleman happens to live up in New England. He's from Scandinavia, and he came here on a student visa. He's working very hard. In fact, he works at a COVID-19 lab, and he's doing everything he can, sending tests out to fight this virus. He is not an American citizen. He wants very much to be an American, but he's dealing with ICE and Border Protection. It's always fill out this paper, do this form, pay this fee, et cetera. And all he wants to do is be an American. And every time he expresses that, we throw another hurdle in his face. He came here legally. So I got to imagine if he sees 11 to 20 million people who came here illegally jumping in front of him in line to get citizenship. That's got to be tremendously enraging and totally unfair. And he and people like him have every reason to feel a tremendous sense of injustice if this is what happens.
Yeah, everybody's going to go head for the border, jump on a caravan, and change their name to Ramirez.
That's exactly right. You know, I've said to him and other friends of mine who came here legally, who are dealing with all this paperwork and other nonsense, I said, look, you know, you're torturing yourself too much. Just fly to Mexico City, take a bus to the border, run across like everyone else, and wait for the free stuff. You know, it's really, almost masochistic to do this the right way and do this legally, because if it does, it's very expensive, very slow, and if you like filling out paperwork, that's certainly a great way to engage in that activity.
It is just so insane that we're putting, you know, human beings, you know, through this process, and especially for people that want to be an American citizen, they want to contribute, and they're here for all the right reasons, whereas we know the people are coming from the South, and it's not just, you know, people from Mexico, it's Central America, and, you know, we're even finding out people from the Middle East are doing that. They figured out the system. They go, okay, hey, it works easier if you come through the southern border, and you don't have to go through all this paperwork, and they do it all for you. So, you know, they're flooding the gates, and the Democrats are happy to accommodate the mess and, you know, spend more of the people's money when we're, what, 23, 28 trillion already, probably looking after everything is said and done, you know, we could be over $30 trillion in debt.
And no other country does this. I mean, why is it fall upon the United States to throw its doors open, let everybody rush in, again, without permission, without paperwork, without probably even, you know, medical checks? You try to break into Mexico through Guatemala, and they'll stop you. They don't put up with this nonsense.
Oh, they'll put you straight in jail. You go straight to jail, you don't collect $200. Hey, we got to go to break. We've got more from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, and bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 888-789-5040. 888-789-5040, 888-789-5040, 888-789-5040.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
As promised, fresh and independent we are, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. DeRoy Murdoch, the Fox News contributor, continues with us. DeRoy, I like what you did in your column, giving us a bit of a pause to look back on Trump and his presidency. I wrote a column about you know, about people's abject hatred of Trump. And my question is, what did he do to you? I mean, the fact that he gave you more money with a tax break, the fact that he eliminated regulations so that you could have a job, the fact that he got you off the welfare line to where you could have a job and have some dignity for you and your family and provide for your family, the fact that he's made us energy independent. I mean, what of those offenses is a problem for you that caused you to hate Donald Trump?
Yeah, how dare you make us no longer dependent on Middle Eastern oil from countries that don't necessarily like us? Yeah, how dare you do that? It's amazing. Yeah.
How dare you keep us from endless wars?
It's funny because when President Trump was elected, a lot of people said, "Oh, he's a warmonger. You know, we'll be at war in no time, and he's going to push the button and cook us all." He's actually the first president since Jimmy Carter not to get the United States of America into a war. In the Middle East, which, as you know, has been a raging cauldron really for thousands of years, not one, not two, not three, but four different Middle East peace deals with Israel and its neighbors, brokered by the President of the United States. Serbia and Kosovo at each other's throats. They now have normal economic relations. The hope is that they'll have diplomatic relations and all of that before too long. In terms of economics, you mentioned the biggest tax cut in American history, 21% corporate tax. He promised us two regulations eliminated for every new one imposed. I believe the actual number was eight eliminated for every new one imposed, believe it or not. And the result of that was, before the Chinese germ, the China virus came in and ruined everything, we had the highest level of median household income in this country, about 68,000, up, I believe, about 7% over 2018. And we had the lowest poverty rate in this country, including black poverty falling below 20% for the first time in American history. I mean, these are wonderful things. The highest possible income, the lowest possible poverty. You can't really ask for better results than that. And a lot of people, unfortunately, get just so caught up with the way the president spoke, now former president spoke, his sort of tone and style, and they just couldn't get beyond that and actually look at the substance.
Yeah, and the thing is that it goes back to who told you that. And who told them how they should think and react to Donald Trump was the establishment media. And, oh, by the way, when you consider how this president stood for life, you know, I wonder how many black babies were born that would otherwise not been born, would have been aborted because of this president's stand on life. I mean, this is yet to be understood, whether it's, you know, it's all people of color, Hispanics, blacks alike. We saw what was happening and how, you know, Planned Parenthood and the abortion mills were doing so successfully under administrations that said that life matters.
No, I mean, we talk about Black Lives Matter, but I guess if they're in utero, they don't. So go ahead and abort them, which I think is appalling. I do commend this president to a lot of people, even some conservatives. Well, he's not really a conservative. He's the first president in my lifetime who actually showed up personally to address the March for Life about a year ago, probably tomorrow, a year ago, end of this week. Other presidents, including my beloved St. Ronald Reagan, only would address them by phone. They call and literally phone in their speeches because it was too embarrassing to be seen with these pro-life activists, what have you. And Donald J. Trump, the former donor of the Democratic Party from Manhattan Island, actually showed up at the March for Life last year in person and addressed them and discussed his reduction or elimination, I believe, of funding for overseas abortions overseas through American U.S. Foreign aid. Excuse me. I believe he actually was able to block Title X funding to Planned Parenthood. That was not a complete defunding, but a partial defunding of Planned Parenthood, which I believe is a first, and spoke up very forcefully on the issue of protecting unborn Americans, which is something everybody should appreciate, or if you want to call it sort of preliminary or preemptory infanticide, essentially, is what that is.
Well, exactly. And, of course, we saw what happened in Virginia, how they celebrated it, and they thought that comfort care was the way to deal with this. James O'Keefe, well, not James O'Keefe, it was David Dalyden, who exposed Planned Parenthood for their illegal activity in selling baby parts, and he's the one that goes to jail.
Yeah, extraordinary. You know, it's, this is so macabre. I mean, look, even if you think, look, if some teenage girl gets pregnant and it will ruin her life to have the baby, so she has an abortion early, I don't approve of that, but, you know, that's one argument. All the way on the other side, okay, have the abortion as late as possible, and then sell off the body parts for profit. I mean, that is just macabre, almost Dr. Mengele-level stuff.
Exactly.
And the fact that this goes on and is subsidized by the taxpayer is a tremendous national outrage.
Well, Kermit Gosnell said after being convicted, he told the interviewers, he says, well, it's a matter of time before I'm exonerated. And, boy, it didn't take a whole, you know, I mean, he's still in jail, but in spirit and in, you know, a breakdown of morality, he's more right than wrong. I mean, it's like, okay, this is going to be an acceptable procedure, is that if a baby is born post-abortive, you just give him comfort care. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, just give it some painkillers and put a scalpel in its forehead. No, it's unbelievable. And there actually are people who voted on this Born Alive Act, children who somehow survive abortions and can go on and you know, live, maybe not normally live, I assume, with difficulties, but still stay alive. And there are many Democrats on the Hill who actually said, no, if it's born alive and survives abortion, go ahead and kill it afterwards, which is pure infanticide. I mean, once the baby is out of the uterus, it is an infant, and you're engaging in, at that point, it's just homicide, just plain old murder at that point.
Right.
I think. And again, there are many Democrats, when this was brought up for vote, who voted against this. I know Obama, when he was in the state legislature in Illinois, I believe he voted against the Illinois equivalent of this, if memory serves. Really horrifying stuff.
Exactly. Well, and as you say, the narrative or the real stories of people who survived abortions, yes, some with challenges, others. I mean, I met a gal. She's an attorney. She's brilliant.
Wow.
Brilliant. And so there are many stories like that that are, you know, kept under the wraps because Planned Parenthood and others would not want that those true stories to be heard, sadly.
That's remarkable. So you're telling me a woman her mother tried to abort her. She survived the abortion so much so that she's now a practicing attorney. I mean,
yes.
Folks in the audience, just let that sink in for a moment. And yet there are people who said, well, in that situation, rather than let her say, okay, your lucky day, you survived abortion, go on and have a good life. Have a good life, as former President Trump said in his farewell remarks at Andrews Air Base. There, the Democrats' response is, no, go ahead and kill that baby, even though it's survived abortion, and don't let it grow up and have a legal career. Really, truly, truly breathtaking immorality.
Exactly. Your other column addressed Joe Biden, and I thought this was an interesting headline, sore winner and a divider, not a uniter.
Yeah, this is something I've seen over the last few days, when the Electoral College finally certified that he would become president. Most people at that point are very happy and cheerful and all that, but he gave a speech the next day where I really thought he was going to get up and say, look, I want to thank the Electoral College for certifying that Kamala Harris and I won the election. We look forward to leading the American people in, I think at that point, 13 days. We can't wait to begin, and we look forward to working together. He gave this really, really rough, angry, kind of snarling speech attacking former President Trump, saying that he's an enemy of democracy and has been all along. He came up with this completely untrue story about Lafayette Park being cleared by the military, which was not. It was cleared by the U.S. Park Police. He said that it was cleared of peaceful protesters. The peaceful protesters were throwing bricks and other projectiles at people, including almost hitting former Attorney General Bill Barr. And he said,
and they almost burned down a church, by the way. Okay.
That is correct. Yep. Mm-hmm. And when the president went to show solidarity with the church that was almost burned down, Biden said that he was in front of the church holding the Bible upside down. I went on Google Images and looked at photographs from, I must have been 50, 60 pictures I saw from that event. I did not see the Bible upside down at all. So
right.
It might have been upside down for a second and then he turned it right side up. But the idea that the president was standing there with an upside down Bible, I'm sure that would have shown up in some of the 50 or 60 photos I inspected. I didn't see anything of the sort.
Exactly. Well, DeRoy, look, the beat goes on, and I look forward to our continued conversations. DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor with National Review Online. Godspeed, my friend. Thank you.
You as well. Take care, Bill. Thank you.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 30-year fixed rate at 2.5 with a 2.51% APR with no lender fees. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.5 with a 2.51% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. Again, that's a 30-year fixed at 2.5 with a 2.51% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Thousands of National Guard troops from several states had deployed to the U.S. Capitol to protect Wednesday's inauguration. After zero incidents of unrest, lawmakers kicked the guardsmen out of the Capitol building and moved them to their parking garage when on break. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say this move was outrageous. The National Guard confirms the troops are out of the garage and will take their breaks near Emancipation Hall going forward. President Biden eliminated 52,000 American Union jobs on day one in office. Republicans from Alaska to Washington have already called the Biden administration's agenda into question. The lost jobs were from executive orders eliminating the Keystone XL pipeline and rejoining the very expensive Paris Climate Accord. SpaceX and Tesla leader Elon Musk says he plans to donate $100 million towards a prize for the best carbon capture technology. Musk made the announcement Thursday on Twitter and said the details will come next week. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Yes, I'll tell you, it's not going to be easy. Boy, you thought it was tough before, right? Well, it's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Wilford Riley joins us right now. Well, Will, quite the contrast between these two presidents, Biden and Donald Trump, which we knew right off the bat. If we go back 4 years, one of the things I heard repeatedly in the inner circles of the Trump hallways there in the White House was, how are we doing with jobs? How are we doing with jobs? How are we doing with jobs? And jobs exploded. I mean, that became a target focus for the administration early on. This new president is all about eliminating jobs. I mean, let's get rid of the XL pipeline. That's what something like 52,000 jobs is what one news report is laying it at. And, wow, I mean, 52,000. You don't get 52,000 jobs overnight, especially with some of these Democratic policies, do you? Unless you're blowing up the, enlarging the footprint of the bureaucracy.
Yeah, I mean, I oppose the slashing of Keystone XL. This to me, and I think there's been a theme to these executive orders, but this to me is one of these sort of meaningless symbolic gestures. The point there is, well, I am a president finally that will support the environment, that will help out the global environment. But the reality is that we still need oil and natural gas to heat our homes. So what's going to happen is that a great deal of that's now going to be transported by rail car. There's going to be more environmental damage. So what you have is the symbol rather than the reality.
Exactly.
And that's what we saw with the whole wave of EOs yesterday. I mean, I read recently in one of the political science journals that in his first month, Trump signed 4 executive orders.
Most presidents before him, very similar number as well. You're right.
Yeah, or even less. I mean, Obama was 8, a little higher there, higher for Democrats usually. But, I mean, Bush was 2, Clinton was 2. Joe Biden signed 17 of them yesterday, and a lot of them were this sort of symbolic thing. I mean, one allowed transgender individuals to, for example, compete athletically. You can't discriminate on the basis of gender identity. But even there's an opt-out unless this conflicts with state law. So let's see what the states do there. But he wanted to make an impact on his first day, though.
Yeah. Well, no doubt, you know, the left is pulling him hard that way. He campaigned trying to be the unifier and supposedly was going to be in the middle. But he's far from that, clearly.
That there, you're going to see a duality there. I mean, so one of the things a lot of people don't recognize is that kind of neoliberal left, Hillary Clinton, for example, has been more militaristic than the right over probably the past 20 or 30 years. If you look at Trump, and Reagan, so on down the line. And I don't think Biden is going to pull troops out of the Middle East. In fact, he's sending more troops in. I don't think Biden is going to do what the Bernie guys would like and really stop dealing with Goldman Sachs and these kind of players at, you know, the highest level of government. I think he's going to do what he thinks of as throwing bones to the left. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I think we're going to see an Equality Act if the Dems control Congress and the Senate. And that would be the idea nationally, that gender identity and homosexuality are going to be treated like, for example, race or Catholicism in the sense that you can't discriminate against people. And that would be viewed as sort of an edgy civil rights law, you know, not a core part of the business of government. But that's going to have a major effect, that kind of thing, on American cultural life. I mean, the same thing, obviously, with immigration reform.
Right. Well, relevant to what you just said, I mean, it really opens up the door to, you know, diversity training that you tweeted out. Very few people oppose, you know, some diversity training. I'm, of course, that it becomes interpretive. I mean, were you trying to re-educate people? Or are we just trying to, you know, really give them a true understanding here? Because it seems like everything from the left, as you say, and I'm talking about the hard left here, is very extreme. You know, diversity training, which then it becomes critical race theory. And it's interesting that here it is a theory, but it's presented as if it's some sort of, you know, codified mandate.
Yeah, well, this again, I think that's an excellent example of what I was talking about when I said, you know, Biden's not going to pull the troops out. He's not going to stop. He's not going to weaken the U.S. dollar dramatically. But he's going to do things he thinks of as little gifts to the left that are going to have a big impact on society. I mean, this is something that's going to impact almost everyone in business. One of Donald Trump's executive orders, which, again, I openly support, banned the teaching of sort of hard critical theory in the federal government, for example, training for new employees, or if, as I understand, you're a player that does business with the federal government, which is about half of business. And critical race theory itself is a pretty radical philosophy. It's the idea that the structure of society is set up to oppress blacks and Hispanics. Not that racial groups sometimes fight, whites get the better of it because they're more white, but that the point of society is to discriminate. And this was banned for a while. Biden signed an executive order saying, you don't have to do this, but this is now, again, a fully acceptable training process for government employees or for our contractors. And as a last note here, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was an executive in that sales floor, training floor space for a while. And diversity training itself is pretty uncontroversial. I mean, everyone brings a dish from their mom, or you learn Spanish or Arabic so you can do business with those great people. That's not what we're talking about here. Yeah. Critical race theory is the idea that you have to analyze how you do business to see whether that is racist, or you have to criticize, you know, whiteness as part of your corporation. I don't really think that has all that much to do with making money.
Well, there were some key issues that were pointed out that this president could actually focus on that would unify. But along the same line here is what we're just discussing. He eliminates the 1776 commission. And they were doing some great work here in terms of, you know, making sure, and this is to counter this newfound narrative, you know, the 1619 project. It's like, okay, well, what was really the truth? I mean, let's take a look at this. And disbanding this commission, I believe, was ill-informed, ill-advised.
Yeah, I mean, the more logical thing for Biden to do would have been to keep the National Commission on Patriotic Education, and as seats expire, just add some universally respected left-leaning guys like Orlando Patterson, and then he got rid of it. So, I mean, that to some extent is endorsement of the opposing view, the 1619 view of, again, America as this sort of existentially evil country. And it's worth emphasizing what a dramatic departure this is, not just from conservatism, but from kind of traditional liberalism. So everyone understands that the great racial groups and religions have fought over the years. No one denies that. Everyone understands racism is a thing. But the general idea is that this is incidental to the process of us building a great society. In a diverse society, you have racial clashes, but society is not set up so the races can fight or some such absurdity.
Exactly.
The 1619 idea is almost the opposite. It is that what made the USA unique or what made the country begin was slavery. We set up the country to some extent because we wanted to keep our slaves. Britain didn't want us to. And a lot of this is just historically wrong. Britain had slavery at the time. But it's very influential. Young, rebellious people like to feel, you know, we were born in darkness and our generation is going to fix that. Not the founding
exactly.
fathers, us.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, it's unfortunate because as you talked about before, Dr. Riley, is that words matter. They're important, and you have this this conversation now that's being poured into the political bloodstream that, you know, we need to listen closer to academics, but we need to hold academics to account and not just expect a prejudiced viewpoint, that it truly is an academic research piece that advances the understanding and knowledge and true diversity that we're all hoping to arrive at, that's going to bless everybody, not to pit one group against another. I mean, we've had enough pitting going on right now.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen, you know, the left and right clashing in the streets for the past year. I mean, you saw Antifa yesterday attack Democratic Party offices.
Are you surprised?
No,
exactly.
Not at all, actually. No, when one of the things that I emphasize over the years, when I frequently in my role am asked, when someone commits, for example, a mass shooting incident, comment on left, comment on right, what do you think motivated that person? And my response is always, they were a crazy criminal. I think that this is an underrated motive. I mean, when you talk about Antifa and you ask what are their goals, my response would be, well, this is a bunch of criminal thugs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all on the left, but they oppose both major political parties. Yeah. It's no surprise to me that an occasional guy from the equally rootless Boogaloo movement will show up at an event of theirs. It's the key issue there is sort of crime and disorder
exactly.
among young
people. Got to go to break. More from Dr. Riley after this. Stay with us.
Is your prostate waking you up more often than your alarm clock? The fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart. Visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Now,
now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
I gotta tell you, I always love our time with Dr. Wilfred Riley. He is the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Because our conversation keeps going, you know, it's unending. Because I find him so interesting and intelligent that whatever topic we go out there, we just, it expands you. And I believe this is why our First Amendment right is so important, Dr. Riley, and especially on campuses, because you have kids that are eager to learn. And why hogtie them with political correct speech and, you know, particular pronoun interruptions and that sort of thing, instead of being able to, you know, wordsmith, to be able to talk through a topic and have my idea against your idea that comes up with a better idea? What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that people who object to that, whether you're talking, I mean, to be frank, whether you're talking about in the 1980s, sort of the young earth creationist movement on campuses and certainly in the high schools, but today, I mean, the social justice movement on the left that argues that there are 87, you know, recognizable genders, very often people want to shut down speech when they don't feel like they can win an open debate.
Exactly.
And that's today. I mean, the campus is an interesting place. Like, there are many exceptions. I mean, there are many military schools and A&M universities and historically black colleges, and I teach in that environment. But the campus, if you're just talking about a large mainstream kind of Ivy or flagship state university, is a very ideologically one-sided place at the faculty level. I mean, if you look at the major fields like sociology, for example, probably 95-96% of professors lean left.
Mm-hmm.
They're more Marxist than there are conservatives or libertarians. And that has an effect on dialogue. Basic words like rape, violence, crime take on different meanings, racism, and that's pretty problematic because college produces the next generation of sort of middle class adult citizens.
And they're being formed by Marxist professors. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a poll of faculty members that was done in about 2009 that asked people how they identify. And it varies across fields. I mean, if you look at STEM or even my field of quantitative political science, I mean, quite a few conservatives, a range of different people. But if you go into the humanities, for example, as I recall, it was 17.6% of faculty members identified themselves as communists or Marxists. And another 25% beyond that identified themselves as extremely radical. I'll probably post this on Twitter and Facebook when we get offline.
Yes.
But I mean, that obviously, yeah, that's going to have an impact. It would be bizarre if 20% of college professors said, yeah, I'm a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the rough equivalent of saying, yeah, I'm saying,
okay, what's the difference? I mean, you're still antithetical to the Constitution, and you're putting our children's hearts and minds in their hands?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that's been absolutely bizarre about the past 50 years in the United States is the kind of break we've given to communism. So, and this is something I feel strongly passionate about. I mean, so we fought two essentially evil philosophies during the latter part of the past century, Nazism or Italian fascism, and then communism. And it would be absolutely a black mark anywhere in society to say, I am a Nazi. Almost no one does. Even neo-Nazis call themselves other things, you know, the New Right, the Greuther movement, so on down the line, Stormfront guys. But on the other hand, saying I am a communist is not especially unusual in American upper middle class life. It would be considered fun and edgy to meet a woman at a bar who said, you know, I am a Marxist feminist. And that's one of the most astonishing kind of reshapings of knowledge that we've seen. And we've probably seen it because we have all these damn communists in the university.
Exactly. That's pretty wild. And I could probably see some, you know, college guys going, yeah, I met this hot Marxist communist, and they're all just like, well, you know, I mean, that just goes to tell you how disconnected I am from that world, that real world where that is going on. I mean, you know, we've had Trevor Loudon on here many times talking about, you know, the avowed Democrat socialist, card-carrying Democratic socialist, which is a communist front, you know, who are elected officials. Well, how do they take the oath of office and say that they swear to uphold our Constitution to defend and protect against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when they themselves, by virtue of their own political commitments, are enemies, are they not? Do they do it with their fingers crossed? Is that what they do?
Well, I don't really know how seriously they take, you know, the Bible that's present there. I mean, it's easy to make sort of jokes, and they're funny ones on both sides. But, I mean, there are a number of declared democratic socialists in U.S. governments. Bernie Sanders, obviously, is a former, I believe, founding member of the DSOA, the Democratic Socialists of America. And although I can't imagine that she would have been around at the time that organization began, I mean, AOC calls herself a democratic socialist. So does Ilhan Omar.
Yes.
So, I mean, again, there are people in American public life, and I'm obviously not saying this is the majority of union Democrats or something, but there are openly people in American public life that will say, I am a socialist or I am a communist.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't an equivalent on the far right. I don't think there are any elected alt-right public officials or something like that. If there were, they'd be immediately, I mean, Steve King in Iowa came nowhere close but was primaried appropriately. But how do you say, well, I am a proud American official and I'll defend the Constitution as a communist?
Yes.
I think if you're an honorable person, at some level in your mind, you're probably engaging in the kind of word redefinition that we're talking about. Like, what does defend the Constitution mean? Well, you want to make it better.
Right. Right. Well, and like we were saying earlier, with the with Antifa, I mean, they made it real clear. Their hands were on their hips, and they said, we want to burn it all down. I mean, this is like the Palestinians is saying, you know, to Israel, hey, we want you dead and gone. That's how we're going to negotiate. We're just negotiating your demise. And this is what they're saying now in Portland. We want to negotiate. We wanted to negotiate the demise of the United States of America as we know it. So why are we reticent to believe people for the very things they say?
Well, I think, and my response, like when people ask me what I thought of the Capitol riot, I mean, you know, get the shields out, turn the water cannons on them. What'd you think of the Antifa riot? Get the shields out, turn the water cannons on them at minimum. Like, I'm not very sympathetic to people that want to destroy the small businessman's property at all. I don't care what your motivation is. I mean, for example, it's hard to think of a more ethical motivation than opposing, say, third trimester abortion. You know, that doesn't mean you can set a row of businesses on fire and kill born fully alive human beings. I mean, you can't do that. That's the crime of riot. So, I mean, I have no sympathy for the Antifa argument. I'm not sure why people defend it. I think the logical, one of the obvious reasons, again, when we get back to, you know, they're sitting senators that say they're socialists, one of the reasons for that is, again, academia and the media lean hard left, just like the military or agriculture lean right.
Right.
So there are a lot of people that are presenting these positions in a positive, in my opinion, dishonest light. And I think that's why more people don't just say, well, you're a communist rioter. I mean, the other day I actually saw the lead editorial in Essence, probably the oldest primarily black minority magazine in the country, at the time of the Minneapolis riots when they burned down the old Third Precinct with all the cops in it. Mm-hmm. And someone sent this to me because I said, you know, I sometimes get the feeling the press treated the Summers rioters a bit differently than the Capitol rioters. And the editorial that was sent to me was headlined, "Burn It All Down." Like, that was the lead in the magazine when it came to fights between rioters and the cops. So I think if that's the content you're reading, that's the content you're consuming, that's why it's important to diversify, right, you're not necessarily going to understand what Antifa is or what communism is. And there's no, again, the reason people have a darker take on the hard right is that there's no hard right equivalent. There aren't a lot of magazines coming from, you know, a neo-monarchist standpoint or whatever.
Exactly. Well, and the other thing is the hard right, they're not willing to go. I mean, they're not burning things down. I mean, unless I'm missing something here, this seems to be something that the left has embraced. And that's the left in any kind of topic. You just go right on down the line. That they're willing to do, you know, a destruction of property, killing of people to their means. And those on the right, I mean, at least in the modern era, I'm not seeing it quite like as I'm seeing it from the left. And I'm not sure if that's fair. I may be stumbling on this just a bit, but it's only because, it's maybe I'm blind to it. You know, help me.
I think we're not seeing it yet. So, again, I mean, obviously, you know, I have a side in the U.S. political race and so on. But, I mean, definitely across all political movements, across all races and religions and so on, you've seen violence. What I think you're seeing in modern America now, though, is that most of the right and center after the 1960s, and I really believe this, agreed to try this sort of new nonviolent colorblind idea. And a lot of normal citizens, again, rightist or centrist, taxpayers, working people, gradually became surprised during the 80s and 90s and so on to realize that the people on the other side, the Jesse Jacksons and Al Sharptons and so on, maybe weren't all that serious about being colorblind or about being peaceful.
Exactly.
I do think right now you're seeing a backlash. When you look at the giant alt-right sites online, or when you look at, you know, I mean, now you're seeing right-wing mobs, at least online, discussing the idea of forming up. So one reason you can't allow this with kind of the young bucks on the left is that eventually the guy whose store gets set on fire is just going to pick up a crowbar and go fight. And then you have that unfortunate both sides in the street. And the way to stop that is just to stop rioting when it starts. Or
exactly. Well, and this is part of the issue that I've been bringing up in the last couple of weeks, is that, you know, this whole argument in politics right now has served us very unfairly, because it has us at each other's throats. It didn't do anything to unite us, bring us together for a common cause. And this is why I've been preaching first principles. We got to get back to first principles. Those are those issues and principles that made America great, and what we want for each other that we can all agree on, as you were referencing earlier. Dr. Wilfred Riley has been our guest, political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can Talk About, You Can't Talk About, I should say. How can they be in touch with you, Will?
I'm pretty available online. I'm pretty available. I mean, if you search Wilfred
5 seconds.
Riley, W-I-L-F-R-E-D, you'll find me.
There he is. Okay, Dr. Riley, have a great day. Thank you, sir.
You too.
Attention, business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy, because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die off,